What a treat and an honor to be with you. I get around your pastor and I start thinking crazy, so I can blame any of my weirdness on him. But I love their thought pattern, and I appreciate your friendship, and it means so much. You know, you have people that you know over the years obeying God, but there are certain people you connect with that think properly. And man, I love the way you think. I love the way you think, and it shows off in all your church. You're here. You're hungry, and there's something about being around Jesus. It makes you excited. Yes. It makes you hopeful.
Yes.
The closer you get to the Lord, there's a kindness that'll be on you. There's a tenderness and a softness. You know, it's amazing how everything about Jesus is filled with joy. I hear all these people go, "I'm a real prayer." No, you're not. If you were praying, you'd be happy. Because you can't help but spend time with Jesus and it alters you. It just does. You can't stay depressed when you hang out with the Lord. I mean, I know there's a burden that comes on us through different things while we're praying, but man, there's a joy that comes because we're going to be so shocked about that because he's been presented as kind of just stoic and, you know, the more pious and the more religious you are, then you're more like the Lord. That's not like him. We talked about the festivals last night. You know that 6 out of the 7 festivals were radical parties.
Yeah.
Only one was reflective. All the others were woo! and the one that was reflective was 1 out of the 7.
Yeah.
So he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. This morning he wants you to enjoy everything that he paid for. It frustrates him if you don't enjoy what he purchased for you. I mean, just like if I pay life insurance every month, I don't even pay it. They suck it right out of my account. But, you know, if something, I mean, it just, we set it up that way. But if something was to happen to me, and I was not, but something was to happen to me, I look down at Colleen, she doesn't have any food, doesn't have any water.
Right.
And I'd go, well, I paid every month for that. It would irritate me so much to go, whoa, I paid for this. How come she's not enjoying it?
Right, amen.
But it wouldn't be up to me to get that to her. It would be up to her to get a copy of my will. I'd want her to walk in the attorney's office and kick the door down and go, hey, come on, how come I don't have this? I'd want her demanding her rights.
Amen.
So as much as he loves you this morning, you have to take a stand. And that's why we've been a part of this faith group to access what he paid for.
Yes.
Because it doesn't come by hoping, it comes by believing. Amen?
Amen?
Which hope is good. It's an anchor. But man, we've heard over the years, year after year after year, we've talked about it since I've been here. I heard Brother Hagin in 1970. And my crazy mom was such a word freak. I mean, we went to church every night. I think 70 through 73, almost every night we were in church. Because there were no Word of Faith churches. So my mom started 3 or 4 there in Louisiana. And so it's just wild. Thank God we've been a part of a movement to show us who we are in Christ.
Amen.
And all the facets of what Jesus paid for 2,000 years ago. So with that combined, you're a group that the Holy Spirit's already seen you. Daniel prophesied about you. He said you'd be strong and you would know your God and you would do exploits. So how you get strength is knowing who you are in Christ. How you know him is being around his word. So look at what a fulfillment your life is. Your life is the fulfillment of what heaven has for the last day church. I don't think Peter and John and James and all those guys walked around, man, we're starting the church, we're the coolest. I think they didn't have a clue what they were doing. But they were starting something that you're finishing. So you're finishing one of the most important things that'll ever be, ever was, or ever will be. We'll get to heaven and people will go, wow, you were a part of the last lap? You were a part where all of heaven's screaming over the banister? I don't think they're going, I wonder what they're doing. I think they're screaming, run like never before, because this is it. You know, when I say this, people go, how do we know this is it? Well, we're going to go through some things today that show us exactly where we are in time. It's super clear, it's super easy to understand, and it's not scary. I can't tell you this year, last year, and the year before, I'd preach the message, and a woman would come walking up to me just bawling, hoot, boo-hoo, and go, I've been taught a lie my entire life. I've been afraid of the coming of the Lord, and there's nothing to fear. I know a guy that has thousands of people in his church. He said, I can't preach on the coming of the Lord anymore because it scares too many people. You know what I told him? Then you're not preaching it right.
Right.
Amen. I remember Brother Hagin, there's a tape series he has on called Right and Wrong Thinking. He goes down a little pathway on preaching on the coming of the Lord should be mixed with so much joy that you're freaking out how happy you are.
Amen.
So that's what we'll get into today. Last night we got into the rapture of the church. Just as Enoch was called up and Elijah was called up, Jesus was called up, we'll be called up. So an amazing thing that we're that generation. And then I believe it was the service before that we got into the millennial reign of Christ. I know it's a lot of info, But you know, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when you see what your future is, it's a renewal of hope and joy that you're not done at the rapture. It's a beginning, not an ending. Amen. You're tasting of the powers of the world to come. So we have a wonderful future. I mean, you're investing right now. Right now, you're writing your resume for what you'll be doing during the millennium.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says if you're faithful over so much, you'll rule over 2 cities or you'll rule over 10 cities. I just don't want to be using a weed eater in Louisiana. Amen. Look, there's Brother Joe. No, I want to be ruling and reigning. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that went over real good. Good night, everybody. Drive safely. Amen. Grab your Bibles and you just turn wherever you think you ought to turn. We'll see if you're flowing. Praise the Lord. Go to 2 Peter and I'll give you a couple testimonies. I won't go long with them, but I said it last night. I've seen more miracles preaching on the coming of the Lord than when I preach on miracles. Crazy. I mean, I'll give you a couple real quick. I was in Sydney, Australia, and the worship leader told his wife, make sure you bring our daughter here. She was frustrated about church, didn't want to be in church, had some rebellion going on, just made some wrong choices. And she's like, I'm not going. And he told his wife, "What? I don't care what you do, you make her come." So she wasn't excited about being in the service. You know what I'm saying? Communication, 57% facial expression. 30-some percent is body language. So this lady was communicating to me through her face and her actions that she didn't like the message. I was preaching on the coming of the Lord, and she's just sitting there going, meh. I'm like, well, let's get a little truth, you know. So I finished preaching, had a word of knowledge. Someone had damage in the. I said, your tailbone, like, broke and burst. And I said, you're healed. After the service, that little 15, 16-year-old girl come walking up to me with her mom and dad. She's boo-hooing and crying. She was number 8th in pole vaulting in the nation of Australia. And she had fallen and busted her tailbone. And here she didn't want to be there. She was so mad at her mom and dad. And here the Lord reaches out and loves on her. Amen. His mercy endures forever. I'll give you one from Hartford, Connecticut. The pastor's name is Matt Nillette. I was preaching along, had a word of knowledge that someone had been in a car wreck. They'd hurt their shoulder and their back and their neck. I said, it hurts if you'd even move. I said, you're healed. This young man come up to me about 25 or 26 after the service. He goes, What do I do? I go, what are you talking about? He goes, I was in the car wreck. He said, you called that out? He said, I don't have any pain. He said, I've been taking Oxycontin like it was candy. I said, well, enjoy it. I didn't really know him. I said, man, enjoy it. It freaked him out. He didn't even know what to do. Well, his girlfriend walked up right then as he was talking to me. He said, you don't understand about my boyfriend today. The whole time you were preaching, he said about you, he's a con man. So he don't like me, don't like the preaching. And the Lord reaches out and heals his back and his neck. See, his mercy endures forever. I was in Craig, Colorado. It was so cold. It was 30-something degrees below 0 Fahrenheit. They had to put heaters on the engine blocks to start your car. I thought, man, this is uninhabitable. What are we doing here, you know? And so I was preaching along, and as I was preaching, I felt like somebody wanted to kill me. You know how spiritual things are more real than natural things? So I'm sitting there going, man, it just feels like somebody wants to kill me. And that's not a good feeling when you're preaching. You feel it every week? Amen. I know this is going to sound weird, but, you know, out of 36 years, 38 years of traveling, being on the road, I think just in the last 4 or 5 years of people actually like my message. So that was every message I preached. I felt like people were going, here we go. Yikes. But in that one particular meeting in Craig, I had some words of knowledge at the end, and I called them out and I said, there's someone here, you got shot in the eye. And back then I called people down and no one came down for that. And I usually would sit down on the platform and say, I'm not leaving until you come. I used to do this every service. I said, it doesn't make me nervous. I said, I'm not leaving until you come. And I just sit there and wait on them. You know, it gets, boy, 5 seconds, it freaks people out. I said, I'm not leaving. Well, other people started coming down from some other things, and I literally forgot about the man that got shot in the eye. I said, there's someone here, you got shot in the eye, and I forgot. Well, I went back to the hotel that afternoon. Colleen and I went down to the lobby to get a cup of coffee, and this guy comes walking in. He goes, hey, I was coming to the service tonight to kill you. I said, can I get you some coffee? What, did you take cream and sugar? I go, what? He goes, I was coming to service tonight to kill you. He said, I got shot in the eye and said, I didn't come down because I was mad at God. He said, but this afternoon, this presence came down on me, got my eyesight back, and I called on the name of the Lord. Amen. Here he wants to come kill the preacher, and here Jesus reaches out to him, loves on him. He's amazingly good. Let me give you one more. Michael Kalstrup's church. I'd called some things out. I was there for 3 or 4 days, and people were getting healed. Cool healings. I can't even remember some. Just bizarre. Well, this woman comes walking up to me the last night. The last word I had was someone's, you have damage on the inside of your lining of your nose. and didn't think anything about it. This woman comes up to me afterwards. She goes, you won't believe what I said all day today. Listen to this. The opposite of the woman with the issue of blood. This woman said all day, there's no way he's calling out what's wrong with me. There's no way he's calling out what's wrong with me. There's no. She said, I said this over and over and over all day. There's no way on God's green earth he's going to call out what's wrong with me. And the Lord called. He said, you ornery, unbelieving thing. Now see, that's not faith. That's the opposite of faith. But look at the Lord's mercy and kindness. I said, you unbelieving thing. The Lord reached out and healed you. She goes, my inside of my nose perfectly whole. Oh, wow. Said all day, there's no way he's going to call out. And God goes, look how nice I am. I'm going to heal you anyway, you ornery thing. Yeah. He's just amazing. His mercy endures forever. So he wants this season for people to see the resurrection. And his personality, what's his personality? Kindness, love, mercy, gentleness, meekness. Come on. So let's pray and we'll get right into the Word. We've got a lot to get into. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your kindness. Thank you for watching over your Word today. We ask you, Lord, we know that we have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. We know what the hope of our calling is, Lord. We thank you for the riches that we have in the inheritance in the saints. And what is your exceeding great power that's usward who believe, accordance when you were raised from the dead. Father, we see it this morning. We see death not holding you down, but you accelerating right out of hell into your body and was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. So we thank you for this season, Lord, that your plans and purposes are coming to pass literally right before our eyes. We're so grateful that we get to see these things and accelerate our path. We thank you for a thought pattern to do more in a shorter period of time. We thank you for distributions. We thank you for operations of the Holy Ghost, manifestations of the Spirit of the living God. We thank you for it, and we thank you for souls being swept into the kingdom in such a short period of time. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Go there to 2 Peter, if you would, and we'll talk about the coming of the Lord this morning. I said it last night. For every one verse there is about the first coming, there's eight times more about the second coming. Paul talks about the baptism 12 times, coming of the Lord 52 times. Okay? The flawlessness of the first coming of the Lord, the prophecies involved. Remember, it was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem of the tribe of Judah. He would enter into Jerusalem on a colt. He'd be given away for 35 pieces of silver. It would be grown by a potter's field. They would gamble over his robe. They'd pierce him in his side. He'd wear a crown of thorns. It would get dark in the middle of the day while he's on the cross. Yeah. So that was prophesied beforehand.
Something went wrong.
Something went wrong. Please try again. And so of all those prophecies coming to pass, oh, it's like a laser. Laser hit me.
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. No big deal. No big deal at all. So the odds of all those prophecies coming to pass in one generation, this is crazy. It's a 480 billion times a trillion. It's 480 with 73 zeros afterwards. Even in science, there's so many zeros, it's not possible for it to be chance. So of those all coming to pass in one generation. I was witnessing to a Navy SEAL one time, and he said, well, they read those and acted them out and brought them to pass. I said, really? They made it dark in the middle of the day while Jesus was on the cross? How'd they do that? I mean, so if you don't want to believe, you'll just be hard-headed and won't believe. Amen? So let's look at some verses this morning that show us where we are. And I said it last night. When Jesus walked into town, demons cried out. Instant submission. Don't you love that? He hadn't even opened his mouth. Demons are crying out, are you come to torment us before the time? So they knew he was on a schedule, but he was early. Wasn't time yet for them to be tormented. So if demons can know the schedule, how much more the church? So we're going to look at some things that are so clear today that show us where we are so that we'll pick up the pace.
Amen.
Everything about this is so it's like, okay, I know I'm supposed to do this. When will I do it? Now.
Yeah.
We have in the past, not anyone in this room, have a tendency to procrastinate or put things off. Why mow the grass today when you can mow the grass tomorrow? Am I in the right room?
Yes. Yeah. Amen.
So let's look at some stuff that show us where we are, and that'll make us make some changes. Everything about the message is to make some alterations.
Yes.
And every time you make a change toward doing the will of God, there's always God meets you. When you go toward Him, He's right there coming towards you.
Amen.
So with the end of the message, you'll feel Him right there. Okay, this is what we do next.
Yeah.
He won't say, I've called you to do this, and you've got to do this. No, He'll go, this is what we do next.
Right.
And he'll walk you right into it. Because most people think, how am I going to step into that? You're in it right now.
Amen.
You're in it right now. Praise God. All right, go to 2 Peter if you would. Look at chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you'd be mindful of the words spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us and the apostles, the Lord and Savior. Excuse me. Knowing this first, they'll come in the last days, scoffers. Walking after their own lust. In other words, they'll be led by their flesh. He says, okay, and they'll be saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So they're going to verbalize, oh, this is the way it's been going all along. Nothing's going to change. He's never coming. That's crept over into the church.
Yes.
Even Hollywood knows there's a change coming. You got zombie movies.
Yes.
You got rapture movies. You got the Walking Dead. They sense a resurrection, but don't know how to interpret it.
Yeah.
But he says in verse 5 here, for this they, the world there, the ones that are scoffing, they're willingly ignorant. Amazing.
Yeah.
That by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. In other words, they forgot that the flood came and change came. When no one believed change was coming. Think of Noah preaching that whole time. How many converts did he have? Zero. You talk about having an opportunity to get bummed out. Lord, I'm preaching every day. I'm building a boat and people are mocking me.
Yeah.
So that's the climate. People mocking the truth. It's okay if people don't receive us. They didn't receive Noah. That's all right. But that's okay. He warns us here. Listen to when the Holy Ghost warns us about the coming of the Lord. Watch what Peter says here in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, notice three times in this chapter he calls you his beloved. He's not mad at you this morning, not frustrated with you this morning. He loves you. So he says, you therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before, what things? You know about the coming of the Lord. You know that Methuselah was a walking timepiece. You know that God had him live as long as he could to hold off judgment. Remember, his name meant when I'm dead, you're all going to die. How'd you like to have a name like that? Nice to meet you. When I'm dead, when you're dead, I'm going to die. Man, I'd have been feeding him. How are you doing? You got a cold? You got a fever? What's going on, buddy? Well, the year he died, we know what happened. The flood came, right? So he was a marker for them. So he says, you know these things before. So then he says, watch this. Beware. Wow. Beware. Caution. If you're in Germany, you'd say, Achtung. Caution. Achtung. Beware. Lest you also being led away. Led away what? With the error of the wicked, it would make you fall from your own steadfastness. He said the thought pattern of the Lord not coming back, it pulls you away. He calls it the error of the wicked. And what would it do? Make you fall from your own steadfastness. In other words, you'd back away from the strength you had maybe 5 years ago. And God's not looking for that. He's looking for radically strong believers.
Amen.
Six times when the Bible talks about the rapture of the church, he says this word, steadfast. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Your labor will be tied to knowing it's not in vain. There's a payoff for your labor. And that's what we talked about last time, the reward seat of Christ. How many are so glad you came today? How many are so glad you're here and not in jail? Come on, praise God. Better be in church than jail. Come on. All right, so let's look at this. Why do we get into this? Go over to Isaiah, and then Isaiah will show us why. This is amazing. I want you to use this when you're witnessing. This is the best witnessing tool in the Bible. Number one, right here, okay? Go to Isaiah 46, skip down to verse 9. Remember the former things of old. Let me give you time to get there. Sorry. Isaiah 46, verse 9, page 819, if you've got a Bible like mine. So verse 9, remember the former things of old. I'm God. There's none else. I'm God. There's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. He goes, this is how you can tell I'm God. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. Okay? Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing because no other book gives you the future but this book. You can be talking to a Muslim. You can be talking to a Buddhist. Their book doesn't give you future. Nah, 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 nah. My dad's God. Not trying to be ornery. But this is how you can witness to people. This is what brings authenticity to the book. This is the only book that tells you what's going to happen before it happens.
That's right.
Ezekiel prophesied the year Israel will be regathered. Gabriel told Daniel the year Jesus would come. It goes on. And a third of this book's prophecy.
Yes.
A third of this book is prophecy. One third is him telling you what's going to happen. Why did he do that? So you can trust him.
That's right.
It brings trust. Okay, so listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible, and then we'll get to the signs. This one we're going to cover stuff that happened 2 weeks ago. We're going to cover stuff that happened a year ago. There's stuff that happened the last couple of years. I'm just sitting there every week going, oh my Lord, you're about to come back to the planet. So listen to this. I know you've heard this before, but just run mentally with me. Listen to the first 10 names of guys in the Bible, and it'll show you how flawless the Bible is. It's pretty remarkable. Okay, Adam means man. Seth means appointed. Enos means mortal. Canaan means sorrow. Mahalalel means the blessed God. Jared means shall come down. Enoch means teaching. Methuselah means his death brings. Lamech means despairing, and Noah means rest. Put them all together. Man is appointed mortal with sorrow. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death brings the despairing rest. Gives you the entire plan of redemption with the first 10 names of guys in the Bible. If you want to get even crazier, you can go on YouTube. There's a guy that does this thing called Beersheet Prophecy. It's an hour and 4 minutes long. With the word beginning, he gives you the entire plan of God in one word. It's absolutely over the top. It's so much information, though, you got to drink a little coffee before you start. And you might want to take a little Red Bull midway through. Because, I mean, you're just, it's just info after info after info after info. The guy's even drawing a picture of it so you can get it visually and get it with the word. But that's how amazing your dad is.
Yes. Amen.
He's flawlessly amazing. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go look at where we are this morning. How can we be bold about the coming of the Lord? Because every generation has talked about it. Yeah. And the signs we're going to get into. I've had people tell me, well, those signs have all happened before. No, they've never happened before. So let's get into it. Go over to Luke. Go to grab your Bibles. Turn there to Luke. And let's let Jesus explain this super clear. Luke chapter 21, and as you're turning there, I talked about it the other day, but let's talk about it again for just a moment. You can't get your rapture doctrine from the Gospels. The Gospels only speak of the second coming. So you got to be careful. If you put second coming verses on rapture, you'll feel like you don't qualify.
That's right.
Amen? Because you qualify because of the resurrection.
Amen.
The rules changed after Jesus was raised from the dead. So when Jesus is talking to the disciples, he's talking to Jewish boys. They ain't saved yet.
That's right.
So he has to stay under the law, and he flawlessly fulfills the law along with showing them a whole new way.
Yes.
It's amazing how he did that. So let's go here to Luke 21 and watch Jesus give us a couple things to look at. He's going to tell us a couple things that we can pay attention to show you where you are in time. Luke 21, go to verse 24. They'll fall by the edge of the sword, and they'll be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem will be trodden down or overthrown of the Gentiles or nations until the times of the nations or Gentiles are fulfilled. So here Jesus said, you'll see Jerusalem controlled by the nations until time is up. So in 1967, Jerusalem's won back. What a miracle that is. It's called the Six-Day War. It happened in 6 days, and we're at the end of 6 days of human history. It's amazing how perfect God is about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So what happened in the Six-Day War? Remember, you had Syria, you had Egypt, you had Libya, all these nations trying to annihilate Israel. And Israel won the Six-Day War. I mean, it was against all odds.
Yeah.
They were surrounded completely, and here God got them Jerusalem back. Remember,
yeah.
Everything revolves around Jerusalem. The Bible says Jerusalem would be a cup of trembling for all nations.
Yeah.
Remember, if you live west of Jerusalem, you read left to right. If you live east of Jerusalem, you read right to left. That's the center point of everything.
Yeah.
It'll be the capital of the universe forever. You go look at that Temple Mount. Remember how many of you went on the Israel trip, you know? When you're up there on the Mount of Olives looking at the Temple Mount, that's the Lord's address forever.
Yes.
If you want to mail something to the Lord, there it is right there. That's his mailbox right there. Temple Mount. Amen. You had Benjamin Netanyahu met with Jordan's president 2 weeks ago because Jordan wants to build another building on the Temple Mount. You can go up on the Dome of the Rock, which we did while we were there. I can't remember if we went up on the Dome of the Rock or not. Well, inside the Dome of the Rock, you have in Arabic it says, there is no Son of God, there is no Son of God, there is no Son of God. Why? There is the Son of God. He came and died. God raised him from the dead. You can get even more particular. You can go to the Old City. And the devil's so stupid, he builds a mosque everywhere Jesus did something cool.
Yes.
I mean, there's what happened right there. That's where Jesus was beaten. There's a mosque there. Try to cover it up.
Yeah, that's
The next mosque, there's a mosque right there. What happened right there? The ascension. Jesus ascended. There's a mosque over here. What happened right there? That's where he was raised from the dead. The devil's so stupid that he thought he could cover up what the Lord did. All it did was give you a tour guide. Yeah, you can go, something cool must have happened there. Something cool must have happened there. And that's absolutely right. But watch Jesus do this, because in 1967, you had the Egyptian army coming down with 88 tanks. 88 tanks coming down against Israel. One Israeli cook hops into a tank, figures out how to load shells into the torrent. Think about this. He's not in the military. He's a cook. He loads shells into that tank, starts firing shells. Could you imagine jumping into a tank? Pastor Craig, start firing shells right now. Man, I'd be looking around. How in the world do they even load the thing? He starts firing shells at the Egyptian army. 88 Egyptian tanks, one Israeli tank. With a guy that has no idea how to even load the thing. Next thing you know, the Egyptian commander came out with a white flag. He said, I'm here to surrender to the highest ranking officer. And that Israeli cook said, highest ranking officer? It's just me. And that Egyptian commander said, oh no, it's not just you. The whole night, the countryside was filled with tanks, with men dressed in white. You've been shelling us all night. We can't take it anymore. It's divine intervention. Because see, time's up. So Jerusalem's going back. There's story after story after story of what happened there. So Jesus says to look at this. When Jerusalem's won back, time's up. So that happened in 67. Now watch him get even more distinct and clearer. Go to verse 29. Look at verse 29. He spake to them a parable. Now what's a parable for? To make what he had just said get even clearer for us. So he says here, look at the fig tree, the nation of Israel, and all the trees, the prophetic nations around Israel. He says, when they now shoot forth or bud, you see and know of your own selves that summer or harvest is nigh at hand. Now I like this. He says, no one has to tell you when spring's coming. When you see the trees turning, the grass turning, man, you know spring's coming. I've never heard somebody, when the trees begin to bud, what's that? No, the summer's not coming this year. Well, what's wrong with you? Have you lost your mind? He said, just as you can count on that, you can count on this. Let me say that again. Therefore means just as you can count on when you see those trees bud, you can tell summer's coming. When you see the fig tree bud or Israel get drawn back to their land, something's up. Yes. Something's up. Come on, something's up. You got the kingdom getting ready to be born in the earth. Come on, you're getting ready for the entrance of the king. Amen. It's all about get ready for the entrance of the king. Amen. We talked about it last night and you quoted it wonderfully. When Jesus walks through that valley of Megiddo, I am he who is dead and I'm alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life. Come on. I'm the firstborn from the dead. I'm the lily of the valley. I'm the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Amen. Oh, come on. And man, you talk about thunder coming through that valley. Wow. In the Tulsa paper years ago, they had an article where they're putting park benches all along the side of the Valley of Megiddo so people can come and sit and watch the greatest battle that ever was or ever will be, when Lucifer thinks he can stop Jesus and Jesus obliterates him with the brightness of his coming. Wow. You know what's so cool about that? You're going to be right there behind him on a white horse. You're going to be coming in for a landing and you're going to watch him walk through that valley. You're going to go, ooh, do it, Lord, do it. Come on. And we'll see people's eyes melt away from their face as he walks through that valley. So here, Jesus says this, that time's up. Now watch what he says in the next verse. Likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know. Circle the word know there in your Bible. He's telling you this so you're not wondering, you're not sensing, you're not perceiving, you know this. He says, watch this. These things come. When you see these things come to pass, know. Know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. That's pretty cool to know it's close. Yeah. It's nigh at hand. If I came in this morning, said the kingdom of God is nigh at hand, you go, that's cool. Watch what he says even greater than that. Watch this. Verse 32, verily I say unto you, this generation, what generation? The one that sees these things. Yes. What two things is he talking about? Jerusalem being won back and Israel being regathered as a nation. The generation that sees these things won't pass away till all is fulfilled. Now, why is he writing this to you? So you'll know this. Okay? Jesus basically said, I'll give you my interpretation. The group of people that sees these two events, you're it. Yeah. Tag, you're it. I hear people go, I don't believe that. It don't matter. Yes. I hear people say, I'm not comfortable with that. It don't matter. You happen to be the group that sees the two signs that he said. He said you'd have a spirit of seeing and a spirit of knowing. Brother Hagin prophesied that. Yeah. It's an attitude of seeing and knowing. Why? Because you visibly can see something so radical come to pass. God regathered Israel. The one thing in the only thing in the Bible God said, we tell God, you can't pull it off. He already did it. The one thing in Scripture that man would say to God, there's no way you're going to pull that off. He already did it. He regathered Israel. Come on, you got Russian Jews getting off the airplane in Tel Aviv, kissing the ground, going, I don't even know why I'm here. Something brought me back. The hand of the Lord, it brought them back from all over the earth, regathered them. You talk about rejoicing. Yeah. The last 50 years, we should be shouting every time we came in church, just going, God's regathered them. He's done the impossible. They were scattered and brought back in your lifetime.
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely amazing. Well, I look at this, and I talked about it earlier. You know, you got some dates and times where things happen. I look at 1917 is a pretty important date. What happened in 1917? World War I. Notice that Lucifer keeps trying to start a world war every time something spiritually is about to happen. So in 1917, Allenby flies into the land of Israel. He's an Australian general. They passed out leaflets. Allenby's coming, Allenby's coming, Allenby's coming. They didn't know that his name in Arabic meant a prophet sent from God to deliver you your land. Well, they thought, well, we can't fight against God. They dropped their weapons. The land's turned over to Israel. And so Israel gets their land promised them. It's called the Balfour Declaration. Okay? 1917, Kenneth Hagin's born. 1917, Kenneth Hagin's born. Jesus appears to his mother, tells her to name him John. She goes, I don't like the name John. I like the name Kenneth. That's just the bizarrest thing. We talked about it yesterday. But the Lord told her he would have a part in getting the earth ready for the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
Think about it. Guess what Hagin means in the Hebrew? One, to go before, to prepare people for the coming of the Lord. So quietly, Brother Hagin, with no fanfare, no flash, sowing the word, sowing the word. What did Brother Hagin teach us? Yeah. If you can find it in the word, you can be bold.
That's true.
I can't be bold unless I got scripture and verse.
True,
it always takes us back to the word, not how we feel, not what we see. What's the word say about us?
Amen.
So here Jesus says, this is pretty bold. If you see those two events, you're the generation. But we got quite a few more signs we can get into, things that are just pretty amazing. All right, after this, what's the next sign to happen? I hear a nuclear war. What is that? No. The next sign, this is literally an impossibility. The Bible says just before the coming of the Lord, he'd restore to them a pure language. Okay, hang with me. 120 years ago, no one spoke Hebrew in the land. Now, everybody speaks Hebrew in the land. Now, it's a miracle. You can Google it. Never has there been a language lost like that and regathered ever in history, except our generation. First time ever. You can't find them speaking Hittite, Amorite, Canaanite.
No.
But you can hear them speaking Hebrew.
That's amazing.
Come on. So God did that. He resurrected that because that the king's going to reign over the natural Israel, and we're going to reign over the whole earth with him. Glory to God. Amen. You think about David doing what he did for God to the point that Jesus is going to sit on his throne. That you could do the will of God to the point that the Lord will sit in your chair. Come on. Amen. Wow, amazing. So we got them regathered. You got the language restored. After that, you got the Ethiopian Jews brought back. Remember, 18,000 Ethiopian Jews brought back in one day. Israel sent C-130s down into Ethiopia, airlifted them out. Chuck Roberts on CNN Headline News said an Exodus that eclipses the book of Exodus. Listen, when CNN goes to preaching about what the Lord's doing, you better lift up your heads. The Lord's about to come back. Amen. So, you know, this was the first time ever that their passenger manifest said 180 passengers. And when they landed, there's 187. You had 7 babies born on one of those flights. I mean, you had 18,000 airlifted in one day because God said, just before the Messiah comes, I'll restore to them a pure language and I'll bring the Ethiopian Jews right out just like that. Miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle because God said it. And you keep going. The next one would be the fertility of the land of Israel. The land of Israel was so desolate. Mark Twain was there in the late 1800s. He said, the land is so desolate, it won't support life. Yet now Israel produces 90% of the fruit for all of Europe. I mean, think about it. You eat a banana made in New Jersey. You eat an apple made in New Jersey. You eat a pear made in New Jersey. Why? Because New Jersey is about the size of Israel. Think of a little bitty piece of land that overproduces like that. It's just radical because God said, I'll let the dirt preach for me. It's just absolutely amazing. I mean, so he's doing visible things to show us something's up.
Yes.
So he's got Israel back to her land so he can court her. When Colleen and I were dating, she was living in California. She lived in Azusa, California. I was living in Tulsa, and we were dating by text. You can't, you know, convey emotion. You know, your hair is so pretty, your eyes are pretty. It just doesn't work by text, you know. So I moved her from California to Tulsa so we could court. And guess what? We courted and got married. God's brought Israel back to the land so he can court her. Russia's going to try to come down on Israel, and God's going to protect Israel. He's going to protect her. So he's going to show off for her so that Israel will go, wow, there is a God.
There is a God.
He protected us. Amen. Yes. The Bible says so that the heathen may know that he's God. So we have all this set up. This is all a setup for it to happen. So God's done all these things. And to you and I, there's signals and signs. So that's pretty big. After that, it goes on with many more. But the crazy ones are the things that have happened recently. You had a fish show up in the Dead Sea.
Yeah.
Guess when that was prophesied? 2,700 years ago. When did it show up? Last year. Okay. You want to hear something even crazier? This last fall, you had the Dead Sea turn blood red where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Freaked me out. The Dead Sea turned blood red where Sodom and Gomorrah was. Guess what day it happened? On the Day of Atonement. I told the Lord, I said, you're just showing off now. I said, I even said it on my EDU. Didn't know it was on the Day of Atonement. Came back the next week and I found out it was on the Day of Atonement. I sat there and went, my God. The Lord's going like this.
Yeah, he is.
He's basically going like this. All right, that's pretty radical. All right, this last year you had foxes show up on the Temple Mount.
That's right. That was
okay, that was prophesied. Lamentations 5:18 is where that is. All right, you got more. I'm slowing down because I don't want to miss them. I want you to get these. Now, I don't want to bore you, but I want you to see how flawless this is.
Amen.
Okay, you had the art Russia this last year. Rebuilt the archway for Baal worship. We talked about that. So, where? In Palmyra. That's where the Tower of Babel was. Why? Because the Talmud says that's the last sign you'll see before the coming of the Messiah. That's pretty radical. You have the ritual baths around the Temple Mount fill up with water. First time in 2,000 years. First time in 2,000 years. Okay? Pretty radical. You have 172 different species of predatory birds start showing up. This Israeli ornithologist said, we don't understand it. Largest gathering of birds ever in history. Predatory birds. Now, I freaked out because the Bible says, after the Ezekiel 38 war, God calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up. 7 years later, at the Battle of Armageddon, he calls on the fowl of the air to come clean the land up again. So you've got the cleanup crew in Israel right now. All right, you had Russia going to Crimea, Russia going to the Ukraine. Why is that a big deal? The Bible says they're going to come from the north, go straight north of Israel, and you're in the Ukraine. Okay, so you got Russia in position, birds in position, fish in position. You have the Temple Mount Institute. Those of you that went on the trip, remember being in the old city? You can go in and watch the video of the new temple. They have all the instruments for sacrifice. The menorah is right out there in the plexiglass. I'm surprised somebody hadn't got a helicopter and stolen that. I don't know how many millions of dollars it is, but it's like solid gold. Okay, so they have all these. Their last name's Cohen, means priest. They have everything ready for sacrifices. Okay, this is crazy. 4 weeks ago, you had 20,000 of Jacob's sheep show up in the land of Israel. The lineage of Jacob's sheep show up in Israel. They had five red heifers they found. Listen to this. They got the secretion from this worm. Listen, this is crazy. This just happened in the last 4 or 5 weeks. They got the worm they need for the secretion for the red heifers. It's a worm that secretes a red enzyme that's red ink. And you know what happens to it? After 3 days, it turns solid white. Though your sins be scarlet, they be white as snow. So that's 4 weeks ago. You had 20,000 of the lineage of Jacob's sheep that they've been kept back in a place that no one knew what they were. They're for sacrifices. All right, I mean, this is crazy. You had the chief of police of Jerusalem. This is what he said. I'll probably let them go up on the Temple Mount and have sacrifice this year in April. Now, last year, they got up on the edge of the Temple Mount, and they were arresting them. They were putting their hands behind, they were cuffing them, putting their hands behind the back, and the chief of police showed up and said, no, let's just let them go. They had sacrifices on the edge of the Temple Mount. He said, we're going to let them go up on the Temple Mount. I'm just going to let you know, be paying attention. In April, all hell's going to break loose when they go up on the Temple Mount and have a sacrifice. So there's all these things happening right in front of our eyes. I mean, it's pretty remarkable. Okay, hang with me. You ready for the History Channel a little bit? Because we're getting closer. Just run with me for a few, okay? History Channel. This is wild. It had a whole story about Bishop Malachy, a Catholic bishop from the year 1129 A.D. He had a vision of every pope that would be on the earth all the way up to the second coming. His vision was for their coat of arms. Like when you're in Ireland or Scotland or England, the crest for a family is super detailed. Well, he got the coat of arms correct for 114 out of 114. I mean, it's super detailed. They're their marine popes or their naval pope or a praying pope. Super detailed. He got the coat of arms correct. Now, in baseball, if you bat 3 out of 10, you can make a pretty good living.
True.
Like 20 to 40 million a year. I mean, that's a lot of money for batting 3 out of 10. This bishop got it 114 out of 114. The History Channel said that's statistically impossible. Only a God can do that. Guess what pope we have right now? Guess what number he is? Number 114. Yeah. Guess what this pope and the last pope said? We have to have one world authority, one world religion, and one world monetary system. It's called Abraham's House. It's built in Dubai right now. They're trying to force literally worship in one location. And what's going to happen is it's all going to come to Jerusalem. That's where all hell's going to break loose when you have Russia come down on Israel. So you're watching the setup for all this. You've got Turkey right now invading northern Syria. And they're trying to move Americans out of Syria. You have Russia doing what they're doing. We know what they're doing. And then you have Iran. This last week, what did Iran do? Listen to what happened in Iran. Israel had to blow up one of their nuclear sites with drones. They're called quadcopters. They only have a range of 2.5 kilometers. And so the Mossad had to be within two kilometers of that site, blew it up, and the Iranians said all it did was cause some damage on the roof. The Wall Street Journal said, no, it blew the whole place apart. When they did that, they sent 26 trucks full of missiles down into Syria to try to park on Israel's border. Last year, Israel did 37 airstrikes against missiles in Syria that are on their way to Israel. Guess what city they were in? Damascus. Isaiah 17:1 says Damascus will be removed from being a city. So you have all the players from the Ezekiel 38 war doing crazy stuff. All three of the players are doing war stuff. Missiles, bombs, blowing stuff up, killing people. So the three players are not going, let's be at peace. They're like, let's kill people. Russia, Turkey, and Iran. It's flawlessly set up right in front of our eyes. Okay, let's go through some more. There's more. And I love the 114 out of 114. Yeah. This one's pretty cool. There was a rabbi in Israel, which was kind of the head rabbi years ago, kind of like we'd call him like a Kenneth Hagin.
Right.
He had a vision. Jesus appeared to him and told him he was Lord. And this rabbi freaked out. So he wrote a little note, said, when I die, open this a year after I die so it didn't cause too much turmoil. So they opened that letter up a year after he died. He said, I've come to recognize Jesus as the Messiah, showing how he fulfilled all the feasts and all that. So cool. And he also prophesied in that letter that right before the coming of the Messiah, Israel would be ruled by two Benjamins. Okay, during COVID, you had Benjamin Netanyahu and Benjamin Gantz dually reign in Israel. This guy prophesied it 15 years before. Just before the coming of the Messiah, Israel would be ruled by two Benjamins. Okay, there's sign after sign after sign after sign after sign. The Bible says right before the coming of the Messiah, men will be lovers of themselves. We have selfie sticks. I was in Los Angeles, saw a guy with two selfie sticks trying to take pictures of himself. Almost got hit by a car because he was so concerned about getting two photographs at once. Not one selfie stick, two selfie sticks going like this. And a car almost hit him. I mean, you talk about fulfilling prophecy right there. I mean, it's remarkable of all the things happening that are markers for us when Jesus said, if you see two of these. In my book, there's 79 signs. I was on a TV program. Now, hang with me. I'm going to give you a little bit more here before I get to the signals, and we'll close. Just hang with me. I felt like I was supposed to do a TV program years ago, and I was going to call it Mock the Preacher. And I was going to have them where people brought in people with trouble, and they were going to have a preacher there and see if the preacher could figure it out. And so I went and talked to Eric Clapton's attorney, and he said, well, let me test you. He goes, how do you think you can do that? I said, well, I don't have the answers, but the Bible has all the answers. And he mocked me. He goes, why does God hate... He said, let me test you. He goes, why does God hate gays? I said, God doesn't hate gays. He just doesn't do anything that leads to extinction. Everything the Lord does leads to life. I said, why don't you cut down all the trees? You don't have any more seedlings. I thought he was going to hit me. I really did. He was ready to get in a fight with me. So I thought I was supposed to do this. You know how you have something, you try to bring it about in the flesh. Now, I didn't end up doing it. There was a bunch more to that story, but I want to keep moving. So I was on a TV program like 6 months ago. It's one of these guys that wanted me to go speak with all these famous guys, and I ended up not doing it because I didn't feel like I was supposed to. But while I'm on TV with him, he's asking me questions, and I said to him, he has a sidekick, you know, I mean, they're firing things off at me, and I felt like it was that mock the preacher thing I was talking about, like that was coming to pass. And I said, "You're fact-checking me while I'm talking to you, aren't you?" He goes, "I sure am." He goes, "You're the first person that every single thing you told me, I checked it out, and it came out as real." Publisher of my book, he said, they're fact-checking it, and they said, "Oh, my God, this stuff is all real." I said, "Do you think I would make this stuff up? Are you crazy?" And you know what he was? He was a preterist. He thought we were in the millennium right now. He went through all the signs. He goes, "There's no way we're in the millennium right now. This is all showing us the Messiah is about to come." I said, "Hello." That's exactly right. That's what it's all about. The Lord's about to come back. I mean, how can you, and this is what's amazing, you go through 79 signs and people say, "Well, you never know when the Lord's coming back." Seriously? I mean, it's like, okay, how many signals and signs do you need? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. There's many more. And you look at it and you go, "Lord, you're so sweet to give us all this information so that we'll have a heads up. We're like, I'm not missing this. I'm making changes." We'll go to signals here in just a second, but... And when my daughter was in high school, she's a cross-country runner, and she would run and practice about 3 miles a day just to be able to push in her races. You know, actually, she did more than that a lot of times. And I trained with her on my motorcycle. Well, I'm dedicated, man. I'm right there with her. "You're doing good, Lauren." I'm riding along. And we would finish, and I'd be tired, and she's running, and I'm on the motorcycle. So I would go to her cross-country races, you know, and I would come to the first mile marker, and I'd see Lauren come running up, and Lauren would come running up. "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" I'd go, "Lauren, you got 3 more miles. Pace yourself." I'd cut across the field, get to the next mile marker. I'd see her coming up. "How far, Daddy? How far, Daddy?" I'd go, "Lauren, you got 2 miles. Pace yourself." I'd go to that last mile marker. She'd come running up. She'd see me. She wouldn't say, "How far, Daddy?" She'd see the finish line. Her countenance would change. There's an alteration that happened. Well, you could see it. It's visible. And they go, "All that training's for right there." You don't sit there and look at the finish line and go, "Is that the finish line? Let's have a little chat about this. Bring everybody together. Can we be bold about that being the finish line?" Finish line's the finish line. These signs are here to show us where the finish line is, so we don't critique it, we accelerate. Whatever God's given you to do, you do it. If Pastor Craig says, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to paint racing stripes in here. We're going to get balloons, and I'm going to wear a Spider-Man suit." You go, "Okay, let's do it." You know what I mean? Now's not the time to critique things, because you can feel it. You can feel that critiquing is coming to the church. "Well, I don't know if everything's been done like I want it to be done." Well, who made you God? Come on. I couldn't imagine Lauren in that race running up. "Now, Dad, how certain are you that's really the finish line?" Because I have people that will say that to me after looking at all the signs. I'm like, so you're fighting for the right to be stupid. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, how blatant does it have to get before we go, "This is really it"? Is real. Now, I'm saying that because I feel it. I can feel people go, "Well, you can't be confident about that." Okay. All right. Let's go through the signals for a minute. And then I got a couple more signs that I forgot, but I'm going to come back to them. Signals. What are signals? The Bible says in Genesis that the planets would be for signals for us. Yes. The Bible says in Psalms that the planets reveal the glory of God. So what happened? A few years ago, we had blood red moons. You've heard all about it. You know it. But the blood red moons were pretty neat because they were on specific feast days. The first one was on Passover. What happened on Passover is when he died for us. The next one was on Tabernacles. What's going to happen in Tabernacles? He's going to come in tabernacle with man. So you have the heavens going, "I died for you, I'm coming back. Yeah. I died for you, coming back." That's pretty remarkable. Yes. When's the last time you had 4 in a row? NASA calls it a tetrad. Yeah. When's the last time you had 4 in a row? 1967, when Jerusalem was won back. 1948, when Israel's made a nation. 1492, at the Edict of Expulsion, when the Jews were kicked out of Spain. When God raised up the ocean blue to have Columbus sail, found North America. What happened in North America? Safe harbor for the Jews. So blood red moons was specific things with Israel. That's a pretty big deal. I remember the Lord telling me, I was getting ready for that first blood red moon in March of a few years ago. And I was in Groesbeck, Texas preaching. I'm walking in the hotel room praying in tongues, Sankritea, Praya, Tia, Stea. And I kept praying out, April to see, Prostadia, Kola, Matrataya, April to see. And I thought, I called Michelle. I said, have her ask Patsy, well, she praying something out for April. And I called Mark Brazee, my buddy. I said, what, are you praying anything out for April? Because you know what, when I had seen the vision of 9/11, the night I had the vision, guess what David Ellis and Mark were praying out? 911, call 911, 911. They thought they were calling out emergency. They were calling out the date of that. Oh. And I had seen the vision of the Hudson River with rubble right here. And I told my buddies, don't go to New York. Something bad's going to happen in New York. And I had a couple of them mock me. The night before it happened, they said, you remember, Joe? You had that vision about New York. Nothing's happened. The next morning it happened. I said, see, I told you. Oh, my God. And so here Mark's praying that out. David's praying that out. So I had called, have you prayed anything out for April of that year? And everybody said, no, I haven't prayed anything out. So I was praying that out. And the next month, it happens, man, that blood red moon. Colleen and I got out in the backyard in Tulsa. I built an outdoor fire. The sky was really clear. All of a sudden right there, about 12:30, about 1 o'clock in the morning, the moon turned blood red. And the Lord said, I told you you'd see in April. I said, that's what you were talking about? See, I thought, I want more fanfare. And this is what I preach. He said, I told you. He said, I made the moon turn blood red on the day my son died for you. Let me say that again. I made the moon turn blood red on the day my son died for you. And here I want fanfare. This is what I preach. And it wasn't good enough for me. See, so we can let these things slide like, what's the big deal about that? It's a huge deal. Okay, next, Bethlehem Star. When Jesus was born, you had three planets come together. Jupiter, king planet. Regulus, regal, king planet. Venus, men are from Mars, women from Venus. You had three of those planets come together. You had regal do retrograde motion and crown Jupiter. So when you look at it through Kepler's laws of planetary motion, you think that Regulus is going backwards. It's not going backwards. It's just where it's called a retrograde motion, and you see Regulus crown Jupiter. Why? A king was born. What was the constellation? Virgo. This last year, NBC Nightly News said we have a celestial event. We got Jupiter, Regulus, Venus together. First time in 2,000 years. What was the constellation? Leo. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. You had so much stuff happen in 2017. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you don't come in 2017, you missed a wonderful opportunity. I mean, you had the eclipse that came across North America. It started in a city called Salem on the west coast, finished in a town called Salem on the east coast, Jerusalem, peace. You had an eclipse go right down, split right down through the middle of Israel. I mean, it's just one thing after another. You had the Revelation 13 sign, the woman clothed with the sun with a cluster of stars for a crown. She birthed Jupiter. All that happened in 2017. God's going like, hello, something's up. You have so many asteroids now. You got one called Wormwood supposed to hit in 2029. Yeah. You had some last week do a close flyby. Yeah. There's so many, NASA had to start a whole new site. It'll give you the date of when it's going to come by and how close it's going to be. Yeah. We had one 2 years ago. Listen to this. This is crazy. The first one came within 18,000 miles of the Earth, which that's really close. The next one came, get ready for this, 1,800 miles from the Earth. The next one came 1,800 feet from the Earth. What's the combination, the denominator between all those 18? 666. You had an asteroid hit Russia this last year. People don't even talk about it. You had the green asteroid the other day over Stonehenge, first time visible in 50,000 years. This was 3 days ago. So there's activity in the heavens. The Lord's like going, so, you know, if you're driving, what's a town about 100 kilometers from here? From Toronto.
Niagara Falls.
You're driving to Niagara Falls, it says 100 kilometers. Halfway there, it says 50 kilometers. A little bit further, it says 30 kilometers. Next sign says 20 kilometers. You don't go, oh, I'm never going to get to Niagara Falls. No, the signs show you. Yeah. They're not to scare you. The signs show you're heading close to Niagara Falls. You don't go, oh, my God, the signs. No, you go, thank you for putting signs up here. I know I'm getting close. What does that do? It lets you make preparation for your arrival. Okay, and then once you get into Niagara Falls, you don't go, where am I? You got signals. You got traffic signals. I've actually made it to the city.
Yeah.
All of these are to show you you're about getting ready for a revival. Where's your arrival? Heaven. Just as you've borne the image of the earthy, you're about to bear the image of the heavenly. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. Flesh and blood won't inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption, but you shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump, the trumpet shall sound, and you shall be raised incorruptible. You're about to be changed in a moment. The shortest amount of time that can be divided, that can't be divided. Come up hither. Come up to the throne of God. You're going to go to the throne of God. You're going to look at that sea of glass clear as crystal. That sea of glass is going to be us. That's people. It's the only element that you can't hide a flaw. You're going to be flawless before the throne of God, and you'll never have another storm. Even though you have authority over storms now, you'll never even have a storm come against you. Because Paul said, you comfort with these words because you're going to be with the Lord forever. Forever we shall be with Him. You'll never have a storm again after that moment. If you can't get excited about something, you need to shout because you're about to get a glorified body. You ought to shout because you're never going to have a storm. And you ought to shout because you're going to be standing right there. You're going to see the rainbow around Him. You're going to see the radiance come from His face. And you're going to shield yourself and go, I had no idea how radiant He is. You'll even with your glorified body, you're going to go, I can't handle that. The only thing you can see in the natural that points to that is when you see shafts of light coming through the clouds in the afternoon. That's just a little bit of a glimpse of what you're getting ready to see face to face. Come on, the Bible says that he's the brightness of the glory of God. The expressed image of His person. Woo, hallelujah. So you have all of this stuff happening. With Syria, with Turkey, with Iran, with Russia, setting up for us what happens just after the rapture. So that tells us we're very, very close. I didn't mean to freak you out like it was last night talking about it, but we're very, very close. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, maybe it's 5 years from now. We can't be very far from it just because of how you do the math. However you do the math, we're right there. So let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's have all hands on deck. You know, we don't fit church into our life. It is our life. Yes. You know, because you guys are so cool because you're so hungry, and I so appreciate how hungry you are. You just make it easy to preach, and you're telling the Lord you love Him because you're appreciative. You know when there's an appreciation for Him dying for you, you want to hear more about Him. You want to hear what He did for you. So this is it, guys. I'm saying this. I'm out of time right now. I want you to hear this. This is it. Jesus, God, is about to come to the planet. And we have this privilege of being the last runners in this relay. I can't even imagine what heaven's thinking about. Look at them. They're getting it because they're about to finish their race. I think there's endowments, distributions of the Holy Ghost. Just in this season, just before we're gone, all of a sudden you'll find yourself having revelation, visions, discerning spirits. You'll have word of wisdom, word of knowledge, working of miracles. Just all of a sudden, just an explosion of heavenly things. I said it before, and I'll say it again. And I'm trying to remember some of these signs. I forgot, but I've said it before, and I've prophesied it many times. There will be such a spirit of faith on the church. Now, not ordinary faith. We know that special faith is a gift of the Spirit. Once you believe God in such a way, He honors your words, His very own, miraculously brings it to pass. But a sensation of special faith in your home that it'll be hard for you to even get irritated. There'll be so much joy, so much peace in your home that you'll have to work up a frustration. I'm serious. Right here before we're caught up, you'll be walking around the house and go, you know, normally that would get me so mad, I can't even work up a frustration. It'll be a foretaste of what you're about to step into. Because you're about to step into a season where it'll be hard for you to even get mad. Think about that. How good it's going to be with the King. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for all the signs, all the signals. We know they're radical, they're blatant, they're clear. Help us, Lord, make alterations. Help us make changes. We make adjustments to be kinder, sweeter, bolder. Help us do Your bidding and do Your will, Lord. We consecrate and dedicate this morning on Sunday morning in 2023 to do Your will. Thank You for this wonderful, faithful church, Lord, that loves You. Thank You for their destiny. I ask You to pour out Your glory upon this place, Lord, in the days to come. May it be such an atmosphere of the glory of the Lord. And Lord, this is the way they think. They think of You, Jesus. All the songs, all about You, Jesus. So we thank You for days of great change, great acceleration and great boldness and great joy. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for coming today. Let's worship the Lord for just a second, and then we'll go. Lord, we worship you. We make adjustments and changes to get ready for your return. We're so excited to see you face to face. Wow, we worship now, but boy, there's going to be an utterance like we've never seen before when we see you. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for having someone preach to us and we got saved. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We give you glory and give you honor and give you praise. Hallelujah. You know, I said this over Pastor Craig last night. The Holy Ghost said a couple of things, and even part of that, I knew there was more, but there's a real acceleration for the grace on your life. You know, sometimes this seemingly takes this many years, this many years, this many years. No, it's almost like what would take 20 or 30 years is going to take like two. And then you as you hit those 2 years, something will happen within 6 weeks. You'll go, that normally would have taken 15 years. So watch certain things just all of a sudden explode. Rather than growing in this hour, because there's such a need for change. And you'll get to enjoy it in the church. Amen. You'll get to be partakers of that. So that's wonderful. Amen. Amen. And it'll be fun, too. That's the cool thing about it. There won't be any downside to it. It won't be like, oh, here we go, acceleration. No. No, no, no. It'll be super fun. And this is for Pastor Jenny. It'll be super fun. Super, super fun. Fun, fun, fun. Daddy won't take T-Bird away. Praise the Lord. There's a whole lot more with that, too. Praise God. Thank you guys for coming today. Man, we about to see Jesus. We ready to see him? Amen. Don't you love him this morning? Don't you love him? Oh, come on. He died for us. Isn't it amazing we're about to see him? Meditate on, as Pastor said that, about the Valley of Megiddo when he's walking down that valley. He's quoting himself. Woo. Wow. Praise God. Well, thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah. If you want to hear a weekly update, it's about 10 minutes. I do a weekly update about what's happening around Israel every Wednesday. It's called the EDU, End of Days Update. You can go to josephmorris.com. There's a button there to hit. I tape it on Tuesday night, and because something's happening every week. Some of the stuff I told you about the missiles coming down into Syria, that was last week. I mean, there's something happening every single week that I go, oh my God, wow. You had Russia this last week promote it has a missile. That goes 9,000 miles. It's a hypersonic missile. Goes 9,000 miles per hour. And they put nuclear tips on them last week. Russia threatened Israel last week for blowing up that nuclear site. Yeah. And Putin, this is what he said. I said it in my deal last week. Putin parked that submarine off the coast of America with a 9,000 mile per hour set of missiles that we can't even fight against. We don't have anything that'll keep up with that. So Putin's threatening Israel and threatening the U.S. Why? Because Russia is about to attack Israel, and America's not going to be able to do anything about it because the Bible says, we say, are you come to take a spoil? Right. Why? Because half of America will probably be gone. Yeah. That shows you how close the rapture is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So watch the EDU. Not scary.
No.
Not scary.
No.
It's true. Exciting.
Yeah, it's true.
You got Russia touting a hypersonic missile that got nuclear tips put on it in the last couple of weeks? Because, see, he doesn't like that he's being embarrassed, so he's going to do something about that.
Yeah.
So we're just living in a very, very wonderful time right before we're caught up. Don't be afraid.
No.
No bad news for the church. For the world, it's very scary, but for the church, it's exciting.
Amen. It is.
You guys have a wonderful afternoon. Give Pastor Craig a big hand as he comes. Thanks, Pastor Craig. Appreciate you coming. Soon and very soon.
Forsake not the gathering. Hebrews 10, right? Forsake not the gathering together of yourselves. Are you listening to me? Because some of you are not doing this. You're Sunday only Christians. Dr. Dufresne came, and the first time he came to our church, he stood on that end. He jumped up on that where Joe Marcilla. Joe, just stand up on your chair, please. Come on. Yeah, that's what Doctor did. And he pointed his finger across the congregation. He says, y'all a bunch of church tramps and SOBs. Well, that was a prophet speaking, meaning stop jumping from church to church and get planted. That's a church tramp. And Sunday only bunch are people that just religiously come on a Sunday morning. But God's speaking more than Sunday morning. He's speaking tonight. He's been speaking yesterday. And he speaks every service. Do not forsake the gathering together of yourselves as is the habit of some. Remember, it says that Jesus had a habit of going to the temple. Paul had a habit of going to the temple. But all the more, do what? Gather. As you see the day. What's the day? The day of the rapture. What has he been preaching on? He's been helping us see the day. So I think that's a powerful statement. He said, don't, you know, how did you say it about you don't fit church? How did you say it?
You don't fit church in your life, it is your life.
You don't fit church in your life, it is your life. Because you gather together as you see the day. I see the day approaching. And why do we need to gather? Because we need more strength than ever before. We need that impartation more than ever before. We need to pray more than ever before. Because I'm not going to stand before Jesus and he say, there were so many souls that I had for you, but you didn't pray. I could have positioned you to get them into my kingdom, but you wouldn't pray. So we need to have a gathering mindset. We need to have a focused mindset. We see the finish line. We're at the last mile. There is a strength. You don't get tired. You just push yourself. Amen. All the years you've been a Christian is for this moment. I'm serious. All the years. And I've been saying yesterday, I had a real kind of meltdown. And I said, Lord, if this prophet's right, what's the point of me doing anything? What's the point of me getting my plane license? I mean, I just need to be praying all the time. I just need to be witnessing all the time. You're coming that quickly. I mean, why am I wasting my time doing this? There's other more important things to do. And he spoke to me and he said, because that's going to get you faster to win souls, son. And I need you mobile. So don't look at that as a waste. You can't look at this and try to shy back and say, what's the point of doing anything for God? No, it's the opposite reaction. Lord, whatever you've asked me to do, I'm going to give myself wholeheartedly to it. Not, well, what's the point? No, what is the point is there's souls and there's the kingdom and there's the plan. And we have to step into it faster. Do you understand? Let's take this the right way. This is not to demotivate. This is to motivate us to run faster, not to say, well, I don't feel like I've done enough for Jesus, so what's the point? No. We can gather and we can fulfill our plan. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for all these signs, the 79 that are in his book. He only shared a few of them this morning, but Lord, we'll get that book. We'll study them. It is beyond a shadow of a doubt. Signs are happening every week after he's published that book. So Lord, there's far more than 79 because every week things are happening. But Father, we are so excited to be called the last day great generation, to move with the word and the spirit in these last days, to be faithful in these last days. Like you said yesterday, we will wear our faithfulness on our robes. We won't have to tell people in heaven what we've done on earth. It will be on our robes like a military general. You can tell who he is because of what he wears. Lord, I want every person in this church to be laden down with faithfulness so that they can enjoy eternity, because we'll be judged there by what we do here. So I thank you for a resurgence of strength in every heart, watching and present, to gather and not to make it their habit to be slack. COVID put a lot of slackness in a lot of people, but Father, we are not that kind of church. We are running with the vision, and we're running in Hebron. That's what the season that we're in right now, and we're going to press forward, and we're going to fulfill the plan of God. This is not an emotional hype this morning. This is a spiritual awareness, and this is a spiritual drive that has been reignited and quickened by the Holy Ghost through the Word of God and through the anointing on this man. And so we are grateful for it, Father. Let us go today and be reflective. Let us go this afternoon and take some time to think about what has been shared this morning, to think about our life, to think about our future, to reprioritize what is most important to us, because we're going to see the King, and probably sooner than any of us expect. And we must run this last mile with strength. So, Lord, I thank you that I will see them come back and not be lazy, but to come back and be hungry for God and for his word tonight and on Wednesday and next weekend. Lord, we're going to make a change in our faithfulness. And we thank you, Father, for it. You're touching every heart right now in this capacity. Let them yield to you and submit to the Holy Ghost.